With White Nights, the tone is drastically different, and the real world offers more promise than what we see in The Landlady. In fact, White Nights is probably the most optimistic and light-hearted of all of Dostoevsky's well-known works. When we think of his great novels, we typically think of tragedy and darkness, and perhaps the hope that can be found in their midst. But here we are surprised by something else, something charming, while still recognizing the author's characteristic perceptiveness about the human soul. Finally, I should make a note about the structure of the story. If you enlarge the video description below, you will see that the text is divided into 5 sections. Those sections all belong to Dostoevsky himself, as does the subheading Nastenka's History that appears within the second night. I have also inserted my own comments in between the second and third nights. I will have more to say about our story later, but at this point I think we are ready to begin. So sit back and enjoy White Nights. White Nights, a sentimental story from the memoirs of a dreamer. First Night. It was a wonderful night, such a night as is only possible when we are young, dear reader. The sky was so starry, so bright, that looking at it, one could not help asking oneself whether ill-humored and capricious people could live under such a sky. That is a youthful question, too, dear reader, very youthful. But may the Lord put it more frequently into your heart. Speaking of capricious and ill-humored people, I cannot help recalling my moral condition all that day. From early morning I had been oppressed by a strange despondency. It suddenly seemed to me that I was lonely, that everyone was forsaking me and going away from me. Of course, anyone is entitled to ask who everyone was. For though I had been living almost 8 years in Petersburg, I had hardly an acquaintance. But what did I want with acquaintances? I was acquainted with all Petersburg as it was. That was why I felt as though they were all deserting me when all Petersburg packed up and went to its summer villa. I felt afraid of being left alone, and for 3 whole days I wandered about the town in profound dejection, not knowing what to do with myself. Whether I walked on Nevsky Prospect, went to the gardens, or sauntered along the embankment, there was not one face of those I had been accustomed to meet at the same time and place all the year. They, of course, do not know me, but I know them. I know them intimately. I have almost made a study of their faces, and am delighted when they are gay, and downcast when they are under a cloud. I have almost struck up a friendship with one old man whom I meet every blessed day, at the same hour on the Fontanka embankment. Such a grave, pensive countenance! He is always whispering to himself and brandishing his left arm, while in his right hand he holds a long, gnarled cane with a gold knob. He even notices me and takes a warm interest in me. If I happen not to be at a certain time in the same spot on the Fontanka, I am certain he feels disappointed. That is how it is that we almost bow to each other, especially when we are both in good humor. The other day, when we had not seen each other for 2 days and met on the third, we were actually touching our hats, but, realizing in time, dropped our hands and passed each other with a look of interest.